We have some extra handouts next to my wife if anyone forgot theirs or didn't get one. There's a powerful spirit of God in the atmosphere. And I believe it's in no coincidence to what we're going to talk about tonight. There's been a divine focus in my spirit, especially pertaining to our subject tonight. I cannot shake it. I can't explain it. All I know is that it's the Holy Ghost. God is trying to raise up a spirit of Barnabas in this church, and I hope he does it. And I know that he can give it to us tonight. Amen. So I want to reach out and I want to grab a hold of that ministry of Barnabas. Amen. That will change us. Amen. So before we begin, let's get into the Word. Our first verse will be Acts chapter 9 and verse 27. Amen. I truly believe this concept is a culmination of everything that this series is pointing towards. Luke records this. But Barnabas, in verse 27, but Barnabas took him, being Paul, and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Let's pray for our hearts. Jesus, I pray, Lord God, in Jesus' name, God, that we would have soft hearts, Lord God, to receive your word. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord God, for focus. I pray, Lord God, that we would reach out, Lord God, and that we would grab a hold of the ministry of Barnabas. In Jesus' name, Lord God, this is not a new word, God, but this is the old word that works. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord God, let your truth set us free. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. We're in our series, Born to Blossom, and we're talking about relationships, family matters. But even beyond all that, God has led me to a point of focus, and that is the ministry of Barnabas. My goodness, my goodness. This ministry of Barnabas. So, we're diving in to the situation of Saul, who becomes Paul. He sees God, as verse 27 says, he sees God in the way. Amen. I thank God that sometimes God gets in the way. Amen. That sometimes in our lives we get trying to do something, but God gets in the way. And it might seem like an inconvenience in the moment. It might seem like it just doesn't make sense. But sometimes I need God to get in my way. Because sometimes my feet aren't going in the right direction. Sometimes I'm dragging my feet, but God is faithful to get in the way. And so here he is. He's been baptized by the faithful man of God, Ananias, who called him Brother Saul. Brother Saul, why don't you get baptized? God will heal your sight. And so he baptizes Saul right there, right in that moment. And God takes away the scales from Saul's eyes. And the Bible records, and you see this, this is why the Word of God is so powerful and beautiful. And this is an important concept when people try to argue with you that the book of Acts is not consistent in the new birth. Okay? In the initial instance of Saul's conversion, it doesn't talk about him having his hand laid on him and receiving the Holy Ghost, at least to my understanding. But if you want to see that, you look at the end of the book of Acts where Paul is giving his testimony. He talks about how Ananias laid his hand on him and prayed for him to receive the Holy Ghost. Yes. Amen. So I say all that to say, don't let people try to trip you up and say, well, the Ethiopian eunuch didn't get the Holy Ghost. Just because it's not written doesn't mean it didn't happen. Right? Luke didn't write, Paul breathed. Paul ate. Paul took a step, you know. There are some things that, because it's established from the beginning and Paul lived it and Paul preached it, we can just know it happened in his life. Amen? Amen. So I'm just saying, don't feel like you're pushed into the ropes. But here we see that Ananias lays his hand on Paul and he receives the Holy Ghost. So how in the world does this have to do with family? We serve the God of adoption. Amen? Anyone believe that? When you're living in the world, we're not a part of the family of God by choice. That when we choose to walk away from Him, when we choose to do our own thing, the Bible says that we're actually children of the devil and we do the works of our Father. But there's something powerful. When the Bible records, when the Word of God, when that Word written in heaven records about your life, that such were some of us. Amen. But you are washed and you are sanctified and you are filled with the Spirit. There's a spirit of adoption that comes on each and every one of us. Amen. And when we are born again of the water and of the Spirit, we're adopted into a new family. Amen. Anyone believe that you're adopted into a new family? And that sometimes our connections change. Amen. But we've just changed daddies. Now our daddy is looking out for us. Amen. Not just a God we pray to, but a God that goes to bat for us. Amen. So Paul has been adopted into a new family. And so I want you to think about Paul's experience now. Has anyone faced family persecution to a degree when you came to follow this way? Or when you came to follow this way more perfectly? Paul experienced that to an extreme degree. The Jews hated him. In fact, if you read in Acts chapter 9, they wanted to kill him. So he's let down by a basket. The Jews hated him. And so Paul, a new Christian, says, you know what? I've been adopted into a family. I ought to go home. I ought to go to my new family's home. And he goes to Jerusalem. You see, the Jews hated him, but the Christians feared him. Because when he got to his new home with his new family, they wouldn't receive him. What a difficult place to be in. The Jews wanted to kill him and the Christians wanted nothing to do with him. You see, those are two very different realities. One is very aggressive and one is very in your face. But the fear by the Christians left Paul secluded in the house of God. And isolated within the house of God. Fear left Paul without friends in the house of God. He could show up on Sundays and Thursdays, but feel like he was all alone. But the Bible records in verse 27, but Barnabas. My God, if there is someone that God is trying to raise up in this last day, it's of you to say, but Barnabas. Because this was a man that was willing to stick his neck out for someone who had done so much wrong. Who knows, these Christians might have had family members killed by Saul. Aunts or uncles, sons or daughters. Led to prison, led to execution by the one sitting across from the aisle at them at church. I believe that might be one of the greatest untold stories of forgiveness. Is the story of forgiveness of the first church, of the one who persecuted them to the ends of the earth. But the Bible records, but Barnabas. Who knows if Barnabas himself had friends or family persecuted by Paul? Who's to say? But the Bible records that Barnabas chose to do some things that would change a young man's life forever. And in fact, would change the church and the kingdom of God and the future of the church forever. And so in our handouts, we're in this section, but Barnabas chose to. And the first blank is that Barnabas chose to personally commit to Paul. Let me read for you Acts chapter 9 and verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. He wanted to join himself to his new family. Could you imagine his excitement? I can't wait until they hear. I heard the voice of the one that you guys follow. The one that you follow to the mountaintops. The one that fed you in the multitudes. I heard his voice. And he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I can't wait to tell them. I can't wait to tell Peter. I can't wait to tell James and John. I can't wait to tell all these people. I can't wait to tell them about God, what God has done and what Jesus has revealed himself in my life. He wanted to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. And this is the kicker right here. And believed not that he was a disciple. But the Bible records, but Barnabas. You see, Barnabas took him in verse 27 and brought him to the disciples. Paul was in a place of rejection, but the Bible says, but Barnabas took him because Barnabas could see what the others could not. Amen. God wants to raise up a people that can see what the world cannot, that can see what other church members who might be hardened and scarred or maybe hardened and scared may not be able to see. God wants to raise up somebody that says, I know what you've done, but I know better what God has done in your life. I know better what God has done in my life. You are perfect, but neither am I. Amen. God wants to raise up a Barnabas that can see what others could not. Barnabas personally took it on himself to take this young and broken man in and see him succeed. Barnabas made it his personal mission to make sure that Saul would succeed in Christ. Whatever that looked like and whatever that cost. I can't think of a better picture of the parable of the Samaritan man. I can't think of a better picture of what that looks like. He stopped everything that he was doing. He said, I'm not going without you, Paul. I know you might be beaten and laid on the side. I know nobody wants anything to do with you. I know you feel alone, but let me take you on my shoulder. I've been there, Paul. Guess what? There's still a journey ahead of you. It might look dark, but this is not the end of the line, Paul. Because, Paul, you got a calling on your life. Paul, God's not done with you. Paul, you haven't sinned too greatly. You haven't made a mistake too much. Paul, God's grace, God's grace, God's grace. Jesus died for you, Paul. Barnabas took Paul on his shoulder and made sure he wouldn't be left alone. We need to be a people that will break down every wall within this church. Amen. We called it in camp. We called those people that would do that click haters. Because there's just something about people. Even as we gather together, and you remember your high school years and your junior high years, and even your years in the church, that there's something about people that just gathers into clusters. And the weird thing is, we gather into our clusters until it's time to go. And we don't end up talking to everybody else. I'm not saying here personally, but you've seen it. And you gather into a cluster, but you don't end up talking. And then you end up thinking about it, and it's like, it's been 2 months since I've had a real conversation with that person. Anyone ever realize it? Like, it's been a long time since I've had like a deep, actual conversation with that other person. Amen. God is calling his body to be connected. Amen. Every part to every part, because ain't nobody higher or greater than another. Amen. In fact, the Bible says, if you want to be great, get lower, get lower. John the Baptist said, if I must decrease so that he can increase, whatever it takes, God, I'll decrease and decrease and decrease. Follow him. He's the Messiah. It's not about me. Barnabas had the spirit of John the Baptist that said, you know what? Let him have the spotlight. You've got a calling on your life. What can I do to help you? Barnabas said, I'm going to make time for you, Paul. I'm going to let you in my life. I'm going to personally commit to seeing you grow. That takes getting outside of just the routine. That takes some people and talking about people not in the church, but they get so disillusioned where they think, I heard people say, you know, my dentist, that's who I was trying to think of who it was. Catholic. Teaching me about how it is to walk with God, of course. He's like, you know, I realize what it is about walking with God. It's all about just you and God and nothing else. It doesn't matter. It's just you and God. Nothing else. And what a sad and incredible misinterpretation. Because what are the two greatest commandments? And love your neighbor as yourself. Those verses, those commandments are so connected. It says, as God was saying, it's impossible to do the first if you won't do the second. It's impossible to say you love God with all your heart if you're not willing to love your neighbor as yourself. And how powerful about that? My God, my God. How can we love our neighbor as ourself if our love for ourself is in the basement? How well will we love our neighbor if the way we value ourself is a 0 out of 10, a 0, a loser, someone who won't ever get it right? How will we love? We're called to love our neighbor as ourself. So that starts with, what's our standard? We got to love ourselves. Amen? That doesn't mean being proud on yourself, right? The Bible says to don't think any highly than you ought to. You got to love yourself because God made you in the image of God. Amen? And the Bible is just God's logic. If you want to love your neighbor, love him like you love yourself. Amen? If Christ thought you are worthy of dying for, you must be pretty good stuff. Amen? Amen. You're worth it. You have value. So Barnabas took the time for Paul. He let Paul in his life and he committed to him. Sometimes people can walk through the doors and we'll think, the church will take care of them. The church will grade them. The church will get their information. The church will do this. The church will pray for them. They come up to the altar, the church will pray for them. We are the church. Every one of us from the front to the back, if you've been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, if you're a part of the family of God, you are the church. Amen. So when you say the church will take care of it, it's time to put on the work clothes. It's time to reach out a hand. It's time to say, you know what? I got something else going on, but you're more important. Because Barnabas understood that in the kingdom of God, time is not the most important thing. Money is not the most important thing. Jesus Christ didn't die on the cross for time's sake or for money's sake. He died on the cross because of people, because of people, because of people. Amen. He denied himself and took up his cross daily because of people. Paul left everything because of people. Peter left a great business because of people for the kingdom of God. Amen. My God, people are worth it. We can get our hearts so hardened by this world to think that everybody is just going to burn you. To think that everybody is just going to waste your time. It's just going to take advantage of you. But sometimes there are Pauls that walk into your life that have made some deep mistakes and have some great regrets, but they have a calling on their lives. They've hurt a lot of people. And in Barnabas's case, they might have even hurt your family. Woo! Let a spirit of freedom come in this place. When someone hurts our family, we go into straight up bear, mama bear defensive mode. Amen? It's the truth. It's the absolute truth. People, Paul might have personally hurt Barnabas' family, but when no one else was willing to, Barnabas was willing to take him in his arm and say, Paul, I know you made a mistake, son, but you have a future. I know that they're all angry, but I'm here for you. Number two, Barnabas heard and encouraged Paul. Barnabas heard Paul's story. Look at what 27 says. He declared unto them who had seen the Lord in the way. This is talking about Barnabas. He was reciting Paul's conversion, Paul's testimony, and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Barnabas was in Paul's corner, even when the rest of the professional church was not. Right. And that brings out a powerful, powerful point that the early church did not reject. That's the thing. Just see that they didn't reject him. They didn't shut the door on Paul. It's just that when he walked in the church, nobody connected with him. It's just when he went out the church doors on Sunday, nobody called him throughout the week. Nobody said, Paul, you want to hang out? You want to have dinner? True. Right.
This man put a lot of fear in the lives of these Christians that were following the way that they preached, that Peter made preached. They were following that way. He was killing them. He was taking them to prison. So he had put the fear of God in all of them.
All of them. All of them. And now he had turned his life around. And he was coming to church with them, but nobody wanted to connect with Paul. He was alone. He came in, he sat, he did his thing, and he walked out. And we said, see you later. Barnabas means son of rest. Rest. If you look up what his name means, it means a son of rest. Because Paul, in his vulnerable condition, needed somebody to come to him and come to his soul and be a person of rest. Why do you need rest when you're worn and you're tired and you're in chaos and you're getting stretched further than you can handle? But my God is so gracious that sometimes he brings a Barnabas into our life at just the time that we need it. And my God is so gracious that sometimes he pokes you on the shoulder because he wants you to be a Barnabas in someone else's life. Is there any reason why you personally can't be a Barnabas in someone else's life? Whether it be in this church or whether it be in your family or in another church, why can't you be a Barnabas? Sometimes these reasons hide in the shadows. And when we expose, there is no reason why you can't. To be a Barnabas means to be an encourager. To be a Barnabas means I'm here for you. I'm not here to make excuses for what you've done, but I'm here to glorify the God in your life. I'm here to recognize that you're not going to be perfect overnight, but I'm here to see you through the process. I'm here to watch you anytime you need a call. I'll be on the phone with you. I'll be lifting up your name in prayer. If you come to the altar, I'm coming to the altar too. If you're crying, I'm crying. If you're jumping, I'm jumping. I'm here for you, child of God. I don't care how far you've fallen or what you might have personally done to me. Because Jesus said that if we hate those that hate us, how are we any different than the Gentiles? They love who love them and hate who hate them. But Jesus said that in my kingdom, it's a whole lot different. I've called you to love those that hate you, to pray for those that persecute you, to give to those that steal from you. I'm calling you to a higher way because I've got something better for the church. And when the world gets dark, the church gets brighter. The church gets wilder and crazier, and they stand out because we are the light. If the salt has lost its flavor, what's the point? Amen. But my God, we got to get saltier and saltier. Paul was a son of rest to the spirit of, or Barnabas was a soul of rest to the spirit of Paul. Amen. We need to evaluate, what kind of spirit do we bring into our relationships? What kind of spirit do we bring into our household? What kind of spirit do we bring into our pew? A spirit of chaos or a spirit of rest? He is rest for the weary souls, you included. Amen. God is good. Barnabas was able to hear Paul's greatest struggles, his joy and his hope. Barnabas was able to hear Paul's frustration and Paul's confusion. Imagine how confused Paul would probably be in this moment. His whole life was dedicated to Judaism. His whole life was dedicated to serving God to the very best of his ability. And there's something that happens when we do that and we experience promotion. Because Paul experienced promotion from being, you know, just serving God, you know, serving Yahweh in Judaism to being a chief priest. He was ahead, right? He was promoted. And so naturally that would make you think you're in the will of God. Am I wrong? When you experience promotion, do we not always feel like we're in the will of God? We do. Imagine his confusion as God takes all of that away, knocks him onto that desert ground, takes away his sight, and says, "Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Saul, why are you hurt? Why are you? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Imagine the confusion in this young man to think, what is my next step? If you're going to lead somebody, all you have to be is one step further than they are. Sometimes we get it so caught up in our minds that I can't be an encourager or a leader because I haven't got that far yet. Well, let me tell you, none of us have gotten that far yet. All you need to be is just one step ahead, amen, than whoever you're trying to lead. You can't lead if you're falling in God farther than they are, but all you have to do is, right? If they're not a worshiper and you are worshiping, you're one step. I mean, you're ready. You got everything you need. If they haven't yet learned the benefits and the blessing of tithing and you're the one doing it, you're able to speak. Amen. It doesn't have to come from a microphone on a Thursday night. Amen. But the greatest leadership will happen over a phone or over a text. It'll happen between pews or between over a kitchen table. Amen. There is leadership. Amen. The purpose of the ministry according to the Bible, is to equip the saints to do the working of God. Amen? And so equipping means I give it to you. And that means you take it up for yourself and say, you know what? I don't just want to watch someone else do it, but I'm going to take it and see if it works for me too. Because if it works for us, I promise you it'll work for you too. Ain't no doubt about it. He got to hear Saul's frustration and confusion. God desires this sort of deep connection with his children. He wants to hear your dreams, church. And sometimes he wants to rearrange them. But let him hear your dreams anyway. He wants to hear your frustrations. And sometimes he wants to calm the storm or speak the word and let the storm dissipate. But let him hear your frustrations anyway. He wants to hear your headaches. He wants to hear your confusion because he said, cast all your care upon me. All your cares upon me, for I care for you. He doesn't get tired of your cares when he says, cast them all on me. Because guess what? We might have a new one every day. He wants all your burdens. That's why Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens. Who is this being spoken to? The church of Galatia. Church, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. There's no doubt that at times pastors can feel crushed by the weight. It's because they're bearing burdens that God meant for the rest of the church to bear with one another. Amen? Our pastor is not meant to carry every burden of every soul, all of it, all the time. We've got each other. We all have got each other. And we've got each other's numbers, right? But that takes a deep connection beyond how's the weather and what's the kids like and what's going on. That takes dinner on Wednesday nights. That takes a dinner on Sunday afternoons. That takes a phone call on Mondays just to see if everything's going right. I've been praying for you. How's everything turning out? That takes saying, I'll be there for you on Saturday, and then showing up and being there for them on Saturday. A deep connection where we go from just being a church to being a family. Amen? If we can gather in the house of God, there's no reason we can't gather in our homes or anywhere else for that matter. Fear is a liar. And there's nothing that makes this building somehow a sacred place of sanitation, but we can't spend time with each other over a kitchen table. Amen? The early church, we're together and we're together and we're together and we're together. And that's how you build family. Amen? Finally, Barnabas walked with Paul into his calling. I thought this was so, so powerful. You see, there is great revival in the city of Antioch in Acts chapter 11. This is what's so cool, is that Peter preaches the word to Cornelius and brings salvation to the house of Cornelius in chapter 10. I just want to show you how this all ties together. He brings salvation to the house of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. And then Peter goes to the disciples at Jerusalem in Acts chapter 11. And he tells them with excitement about how God has poured out the Holy Ghost on the Gentiles. And how silly that they had thought that the Holy Ghost was only for the Jewish people. Right? Jesus said, I want you to go out into all nations. They thought it was just for them, the church people. But I read of a God that says, I have a dinner. I have a dinner set. All the plates are out and all the napkins are folded and the food is warm. But everyone that I've invited to my dinner has rejected my offer. So I want you to go out. I want you to go and get the halt and the blind and the maimed and compel them. That parable reads, it says, compel them to come to my dinner. Read the master's intention. He said that my house shall be filled. God's intention is that his house will be filled. Whatever it takes, that his house will be filled. Amen. We need to see ourselves in the place of bringing people to fill his house. Wherever it is, my house, your house, this house, I'm going to fill his house. Whoever it is, the highways, the byways, and the hedges, the halt, the blind, the maimed, those that said they would never join an apostolic church or never walk into a Pentecostal church, those that rejected this, those on my live feed, those friends on Facebook, I want to go because his house shall be filled, and I want to play a little part in it. And so the Jews heard Peter say, God is pouring out the Holy Ghost on the Gentiles. And there was this great argument. And finally, they understood and they saw it. And the Bible says, as they left, understanding that God will be poured out to the Gentiles, they held their peace, right? So there was a little bit of a tussle. They glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. And from here they go forth into Antioch, and they begin to preach the gospel. And the Bible says in verse 21 that the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed, and this is in Antioch, and turned unto the Lord. In verse 22, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. They called not for Paul, they called for Barnabas, who when he came had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he, being Barnabas, was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. You see, revival was hot and was happening, and Barnabas had his name called, and he began to preach to the people of Antioch, and miracles, signs, and wonders were happening. God was pouring out his spirit. But you see, this is not the end of the story. In verse 25, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. Barnabas has the platform. Barnabas is the preacher Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Barnabas is laying his hands and seeing demons tremble and seeing people filled with the Holy Ghost. But he says, you know what? This kingdom is not mine. It's all about him. Who can I bring in with me? And he goes and he seeks Saul. It wasn't that Paul came to Barnabas and said, can I preach on Thursday night? It wasn't that Saul came to Barnabas and said, can I do this? Barnabas, who God was using, looked out and said, is there somebody else I can bring into this thing? Is there somebody else I can draw with me to minister? This isn't my kingdom. Who else can I use? Who else can God use to bring revival? And the Bible says that when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. He said, boy, you're coming here. Why? Because Barnabas heard Saul's story. Paul had been given a calling from God. What was his calling? You're a chosen vessel unto me. And you will bear my name unto who? The Gentiles. So when revival starts to break among the Gentiles for the first time ever. God had put a Barnabas there who was able to connect Paul with his destiny, able to connect Paul with his calling. Amen. We can worry so much about how can I get connected with where God wants me to go, but he knows how to put people in your way. God knows how to put the right people at the right place at the right time to lead us into his harvest. Amen. He went and he got Paul. He sought Saul and he said, come to Antioch. And it came for a whole year. They assembled themselves together with the church and taught much people together. And that's the context that we find. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Barnabas said, you know what? My friend, you've got a calling on your life. And I have the perfect opportunity for you. I don't care if any of the spotlight falls off of me. It's not my show anyway. There's something powerful that happens within the kingdom of God when we're willing to share the glory of God. And to say, you know what? You go talk to him. I'll talk to him if you don't. You go talk to him. Why don't you go and have Bible study? I'll go with you. That's what's so powerful about Barnabas, is that he didn't just kick Paul into his calling, but they were there for a whole year together. That is the beauty of the Barnabas ministry. It's not you and it's not me. It's we. Barnabas saw that God wanted to do something powerful in Paul's life. And so he said, you know what? I want to do it with you. And so I'm here to tell you that even within your own family, there are people in your family that might be grappling with the call of God on their lives. And so the question is, how can you be a Barnabas to the members of your own family? How can you help them? How can you help them walk in their calling? How can you help them understand that their mistakes and their sins do not define them, and their frustrations will not finish them, but there is a future for them? How can we help our family members understand that tomorrow is better than yesterday, and that there is something powerful for you, whether it's a brother, a sister, a son, a daughter, a husband, or a wife? Our husbands and our wives have callings on their lives. Nobody was born in the kingdom of God to just exist. I believe it. Take it to the bank. We have mysticized the calling of God. The calling of God is just that he wants you to do something. Because the Spirit always brings action. He is the Father in creation, the Son in redemption, but the Spirit's all about action. Anytime you see the Spirit, it's the Spirit moving. It's not the Spirit sitting. It's not the Spirit just hanging out. It's not the Spirit just biding his time. But it's the Spirit moving. And so when we are born of the Spirit, we're born to move and to groove in God. Amen. We're born to find our lane and to run with all of our might, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so we can get so caught up in looking into what has God called me to do? What does God have on my future and my horizon? But I wonder what would happen if we would look into our own families and say, what is God calling my wife to do? What is God calling my husband to? What is God calling my daughters to, my son to, my cousins to? What is God calling my family to? What can he do in their life? And how can I help them get there? The Spirit of Barnabas is alive and well today and is available to anybody who will say, you know what? You first, and I'll go with you. Barnabas says, you won't go alone. You aren't just going to vanquish in the corner. You're not just going to melt. You can do it, and I will do it with you. So the question is this deep level of connection possible today? And the answer is yes, and it begins in the family. How can you help foster this environment in your family? And how can you help foster this environment in this church family? And so to close, I want to ask these questions, or say this statement at the end of our paper and our handout here. We skipped that last section. It's okay. Your family can make a difference in your community, this church, and the world at large. So why don't we take a time of reflection and name three things that you can do to build a healthy family. How can you be an encourager? How can you see someone else's mistakes and help them understand that that doesn't define who you are? In fact, I've made worse. Is there anything in our families that we can do differently to lift each other up? And finally, this quote from Mother Teresa: the way that you help heal the world is you start with your family. Healthy families will create a healthy church. And a healthy church will change this world. Amen? The answer is not something to be voted on in the Senate or discussed on CNN. The answer is a light that is set upon a hill. Amen? And so I want to have a healthy family. Amen? Amen. So I hope that you take the challenge to build a Barnabas ministry within your family. To take the time, to take the care for somebody else in your family and say, you know what? I'm not going to let you do this thing alone, no matter how much you may want to. We're going to succeed. You are going to walk in your calling, and we're going to do it together. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, for the Holy Ghost that's in this room. I pray for a spirit of revelation, and I pray, Lord God, for that spirit that you talk about in Revelation. I pray, Lord God, that we would be the church of overcoming. God, that we would overcome, overcome, overcome. That we would not be victims, but I pray in Jesus' name, help us to be overcomers, Lord God. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, Jesus, we will overcome. In Jesus' name, thank you, God. Amen. You are dismissed. Have a great one.